We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the Buffs Insider, a weekly podcast here at the University of Colorado. However, during the offseason and with all the basketball travel, we really haven't been weekly. But it's good to have Neil back this week. Neil, welcome. CUBuffs.com. Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. We got a little football to talk about, a little basketball. Last night, the Colorado Buffaloes improved their season record 18-5, 7-5 in Pac-12 conference play. A not-so-impressive victory, but they did get the victory. I think I said at the end of the broadcast, Neil, it was an ugly game, but every W is beautiful in college basketball. They get the win, 71-65 over Cal.
Yeah, and you're right. It was not pretty. They played much better in the second half than they did in the first, but I think the most important numbers are what you just said. They're 7-3 in the Pac-12. They are tied for first place in the Pac-12. They're tied with Oregon. They're tied for the top spot in the league. This is, you know, it's a great position for them to be in. And so going into Saturday's game against Stanford, got a chance to stay there. So in the end, that W is what they needed most.
It was a good thing that Tyler Bay decided to have his best offensive game of the season. He had 21 points. That's his season high. His career high is 27. He had last year against UCLA. Because in that first half, when they only scored 28 points, there wasn't much outside there offensively, with the exception of him.
No, they weren't doing anything offensively. They were shooting poorly. I think they were 2 for 13 in the first half from three-point range. And then meanwhile, Cal hit their first six shots, and I think they shot 60-something percent in the first half. Overall, that is the highest percentage by a CU opponent this year. Yeah. Cal's final shooting percentage was the best that any team has shot against Colorado this year. So a defensive effort that left CU coach Tad Boyle a little bit disappointed. But, you know, again, in the long run, he'll take the win.
Yeah, here's a number for you. In fact, Neil's right. Cal shot 55.6% from the field for the ball game. By the way, coming into this contest, Cal was number 12 in the Pac-12 in field goal shooting percentage in league games this year. So it was a very odd defensive game. Tad Boyle's career, and again, his win percentage overall, his win percentage at home, his win percentage at the event center is fantastic. In his career, though, his teams are 16-44 now when the opposition shoots over 50%. So it was really kind of an anomaly last night. But down the stretch, so they got a little bit better in the second half. But down the stretch, Tyler was great, had 21 points. McKinley Wright and Deshaun Schwartz were huge.
Yeah, McKinley Wright, you know, hit a big three with 3 minutes left, and then he had an offensive rebound put back. Deshaun Schwartz hit a three. Deshaun Schwartz had a dunk and a free throw. I mean, he got mugged going up, and he's still you know, man enough to put the dunk down. He gets the free throw, and that kind of salted the game right there. But it was not a pretty win, but I think it was good to see this Colorado team play not well, but they played with grit all the way through. And I think that was really important just to watch them know that they were struggling on both ends of the floor, but they didn't get their heads down. And yeah. I think that was I liked seeing that part of it.
This team now with 7 wins, I've really thought this year, I've said 14 was the number you had to get to win the conference. I know that I've talked to some of the coaching staff. Maybe I set that a little bit high. Maybe in that 13 or 12 range might actually get you there. But even though, if you shoot for 14, they've got to maintain home court. So they got 3 more games at home. That gets them then to, what, 10? And then you've got 2 more road trips, swings. You've got to probably get a sweep somewhere. Along there, you can split the other one. You got to get the win at Utah. Is this team capable of that?
Boy, you're good at math.
I've talked that through my head about 10 times, by the way.
My head's spinning, but no, you're right. I think this team can do that. I don't see any reason. I think the team that gets consistent down the stretch. I mean, you saw an Oregon team lose to Stanford last week. You saw Arizona come back, and they beat USC tonight. USC is a very talented team, but Arizona hangs on to beat them. I don't think that there's any team right now that I would say is a clear favorite to win this league. But the team that has some consistency down the stretch, and you're right, that means sweeping the last 3 at home. That means getting a road split, a road sweep, and a win at Utah. That gets you up to 14.
While you and I are recording this podcast right now, I glance over the scoreboard. Utah in overtime has got a 6-point lead on Stanford. So Stanford may be coming off a loss coming in here. McKinley's been outstanding, obviously. One of the 10 finalists now for the Cousy Award. We found out, in fact, on Thursday, Tyler was one of the 10 finalists for the Malone Award, which goes out to the best four-man in the country. Deshaun Schwartz has been Deshaun Schwartz. I think getting some minutes, Eli Parquet, Lucas Seward might be making a run for the Sixth Man of the Year Award, although he didn't do much last night.
Yeah, Lucas didn't have a great game last night. He had, he just had 1 point, but he also had 4 rebounds, and he played some good defense in the middle. Eli Parquet has been giving him some good minutes. The guy that I've really liked over the last 4 or 5 games has been Shane Gatling, who's a guy that came in here with a reputation as a big scorer. He has 12 assists in the last, I think, 4 games, and he found Deshaun Schwartz for about 3 of those tonight, or last night, did a really nice job. And so I think Shane's been playing well. Lucas, definitely a sixth man guy. He coming into this game, he was the 2nd in the Pac-12 among all reserves in scoring and rebounding. Yeah. And so he's been doing a good job in that regard. So their bench is going to be hugely important for him.
Well, I want to say this, and I want to throw a challenge out to Buff Nation out there, because there are only 3 games left. You got Stanford now tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, 3:30, by the way, coverage in the Colorado Basketball Network in Denver on 850 KOA, 94.1 FM. 2 after that. This team is really good. This has been a top 25 team all season long. They're going to compete for the Pac-12 championship. I know it was an early game on Thursday night. The crowd got bigger as the game wore on, so it was a late-arriving crowd like we were in Los Angeles or something. But this team deserves these last 3 games to have this building rocking, don't you think?
I'd really love to see this building, you know, filled up. And I know they're expecting a very good crowd Saturday for Stanford. I'd love to see for those last 2 games, UCLA and USC, I'd love to see the gym packed. This is going to be a team that you're going to want to say that you saw play. Hmm. This is going to be a team that you're going to say, hey, you know, remember that bunch when McKinley and Tyler and Evan Batty and all those guys were here? This is a team that's going to be worth watching. And I tell you what, you know, I'll just go ahead and make a little plug. This is a team that's going to be worth watching again next year. So, mm-hmm. you know, get yourself familiar with this team right now, because it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, without question. You know, it's funny, Tad and I were talking tonight before the ball game. We taped our pregame. And he's the one that made that. We got talking about McKinley. And I said, you know, when he walks out of here, Tad, I said, you know this. He's going to be maybe the greatest point guard in this program. I mean, if he plays 4 years and the numbers he puts up. And Tad said, I want you to think about something. He said, they're making a big deal right now. Peyton Pritchard at Oregon is an outstanding guard. And he's coming up where he's going to leave his career 1,500 points, 500 rebounds, 500 assists. He said, Mark, if you look at McKinley's numbers, he's got a chance at 1,800, 600, 600 for a 6-foot point guard. Think about that for a second.
Well, just watching McKinley right rebound. You know, he's a good offensive player. He's a good defender. He obviously is good at finding his teammates for open baskets. But watching that guy rebound might be one of the most astounding things I've covered in my years, just because he's a 6-foot guy that goes into the middle, into the paint, and somehow comes down with the ball, you know, 6, 8, 10 times a game.
Yep. Yeah, he's a lot of fun. So anyway, the Buffs have got Stanford coming in here on Saturday at 4 o'clock. Let's shift gears. Mel Tucker on Thursday, National Signing Day. What's been the traditional National Signing Day now? With the early one, it's taken some of the significance away from it. But landed the Anglin kid, a big defensive back, 6'2", 6'3", 190 pounds. You got Jaylee Stacks, kind of a pile-moving running back from Cherry Creek. And then Ashad Clayton, the running back, who is maybe one of the top five running backs in America. Florida made a strong push for him right before signing day, and he held on to one of the top running backs in America, adding to what was already a great recruiting class here at the University of Colorado.
The thing that impressed me is Mel Tucker talks about the fourth quarter all the time, and if you want to talk about the fourth quarter in recruiting, Mel Tucker wrapped up a hell of a fourth quarter in recruiting by getting those three guys on signing day in February. Guys that'll come here and play, a couple of them have a chance to come here and play right away, guys that'll help this program. And the thing that I liked, it was a guy from Louisiana, very, very fertile recruiting ground, a guy from Ohio where Mel Tucker's very familiar with recruiting in Ohio. To get your foot in the door in Ohio is a big deal because there are a lot of good players that come out of Ohio. And so just to get his name in there, get Colorado out there in those two places was a major, major step forward for Colorado football.
And what I liked about it is, and I was on a show on, I think, Thursday morning, and a guy asked me, give me a thought that when you think of this, what Mel's done, his first full recruiting class, what comes to mind? Well, number one is physicality. Number two is a willingness to go anywhere and compete with anybody in college football to get a kid. Like I said, so they get Clayton and his main suitor on the other side was out of the SEC, Florida. I mean, he really is showing a willingness. He's going to go anywhere and recruit anybody anytime.
And that's what you have to do. There used to be in college football, it was very regional recruiting. The SEC school stayed down south. The West Coast schools recruited the West Coast. Colorado recruited, Texas and California. And that's still going to be big ground for them. But you have to go nationwide because everybody's going nationwide. And for him to get his foot in the door in Ohio and for him to get his foot in the door in Louisiana, you know what state had the most players in the Super Bowl per capita in the nation this year? It was Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah. And they pump out players all the time, and to get back down there is a big deal.
I'm going to make an observation here. This time of year, as much as I travel with basketball, I'm year-round Mel and those guys more than I am this time of year. On Thursday, and by the way, check out Mel Tucker's Inside Zone. We did a podcast with Eric Bieniemy. That's fantastic. So the same place you get this one, go grab that one. It's about 55 minutes because you can't ask EB a question without him going on and telling great stories for about 2 minutes. But being around Mel and watching him, I was at the event on, Wednesday night at Blake Street Tavern, watching Mel Tucker. He came in here. You and I are both impressed with kind of his demeanor, how he approached things. There's a business-like fashion. There's a focus about him. He's got a year under his belt. The intensity in all those areas appears to be rising because he got number one, year number one, wasn't happy with 5-7, got to accept that. But when you watch this guy, it's like, okay, if he came in and we thought it was a 10, actually it was about a 7. He's ratcheting it up now. It's really fascinating to watch.
Yeah, no, there's an edge there. I mean, I see Mel, in the office quite a bit and have to stop by and ask him some stuff or talk to him. And it is all business, great guy to work with. But there is an edge there that he did not like 5-7. Oh. Mel just was not happy with 5-7. He brought in some kids, and I tell you what, those recruits are going to get a chance to play right away. He's bringing in guys to increase the competition across the board, and Mel Tucker has taken it up a notch, and I can only imagine what it's going to be like in spring ball, and when we get around to fall camp, you and I are just going to have to stand way back.
Yeah, stay out of there.
The shrapnel is not going to be fun.
It's big boy football. You and I are too old to be involved in that kind of thing. Great stuff, though, and certainly an impressive class by Mel Tucker as he is putting his stamp on this program in a major, major way. So get excited for the spring game, which comes up on April 25th, and spring ball is just around the corner. They'll have a week before spring break and then finish it up afterward, and of course that season will be here before we know it. Check out Neil's coverage, recapping the Buffs basketball game, getting ready for Stanford. Again, that Stanford broadcast gets underway on Saturday afternoon at 3:30 with Buffs warm-up presented by Safeway. We'll hit the air at 4 o'clock with the Buffs and the Stanford Cardinal, and Neil says you got one more point.
I just wanted to give a shout-out, number one, to Danny Jones.
Yes, oh yeah.
track athlete yep. who broke a 42-year-old record. That's older than you, isn't it, Mark?
Oh, he certainly is. and how about Joe Klecker, by the way, and what he did in the men's side?
Joe Klecker, yeah. Danny Jones breaks a 42-year-old record in the 800 meters, held by Mary Decker, who was a pretty good runner.
Worked out.
Yeah. And at Colorado, Joe Klecker runs the fastest mile ever on Colorado soil. 4:01, just was a lot of fun. Another great effort by Mark Wetmore's kids.
Yeah, and Klecker with the adjustment, which I'm not smart to figure out, was about 3:55, which I think was number two in the country in the mile as well. We had a chance to do a segment with Joe Klecker on the television show, so check that out on the Buffalo Stampede. I'm glad you brought that up. But basketball tomorrow, 4 o'clock. Join us on the Colorado Basketball Network. Check out Neil's coverage at CUBuffs.com. For Neil Welk, I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.